Hello and welcome back to the Go Home Show podcast for our NXT and AEW Wednesday Night Wars review from the 30th of September. We talked about the rating wars. Yesterday did not matter at all because it was the first night of the NBA Finals, so both sides would have lost heavily. But let's get straight into the action. Firstly, Crush, hit us up with some NXT news.
Yes, unfortunately today we heard the sad news that former podcast guest Tegan Knox will be out of action for a long time again. She's torn her ACL again. It's a repeat of the first ACL injury that she had, and she's already had surgery, so she's on the road to recovery. But terribly sad news. Obviously, the angle was about the Garganos last week and Candice LeRae attacking them before the Battle Royale. But tremendously sad news. And yeah, Chris, as a wrestler, that must be devastating to have really bad knee injuries in 3 years.
I think it's every wrestler's kind of greatest fear, especially like ACLs, because they can go so easily and they are so debilitating and you don't know how you're going to be when you come back. I think, however, from watching the interview we did with her, I've never been more confident of someone coming back from an ACL injury. Obviously, she's done it. I think actually it's her third, this is her fourth ACL tear in total. I was reading somewhere she tore it when she was 13 or something like that. My view on this is, honestly, when she comes back in 6 months, 9 months, a year, whenever it is, she's just going to be proving that she is the hardest bastard in wrestling. I have complete confidence that if anyone can come back from this, it's Tegan Knox.
Yeah, like I should say, she is one tough cookie. Like, make sure you go check that interview out. It's on any good podcasting app.
Tough cookie. How old are you?
You're older
tough
than me, mate.
Tough cookie.
You're
I know, and yet somehow I didn't say tough cookie. Right, get on with it. Come on.
But yeah, so you can check out all good podcasting apps and on Sports Wrestling for the full interview. Then we got into the show. Opening match, Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez. But Shotzi Blackheart's entrance is simply fantastic. She's got her own mini tank. She ran over Robert Stone a few weeks back. Like, it is incredible. One of my favourite entrances in wrestling at this moment in time. But yeah, really good match. A load of back and forth. About midway through, there was a really nasty landing for Blackheart on the apron. But luckily, she got back up from that. So after that, she goes for a suicide dive. The ref's obviously checking on Dakota Kai on the floor. Raquel interferes, grabs her by the legs, and then Rhea Ripley comes out, shoves Raquel into the stairs. So that's obviously developing their feud for further down the line, potentially a match at TakeOver this Sunday. She goes for the KO kick in the corner, misses, and then Dakota Kai's rolled up for a quick win for Shotzi Blackheart. Really nice start to NXT. Enjoyable. Dakota Kai, I've enjoyed her work since she was on the Independents. And yeah, Shotzi Blackheart, fairly new to me. Obviously, she's been in indies before, but I've enjoyed seeing her so far in NXT. Good start. Then we move into a head-to-head interview section with Santos Escobar and Isaiah Swerve Scott. Obviously, they're taking each other on at TakeOver for the interim NXT Cruiserweight title in the absence of Jordan Devlin due to not being able to travel due to the pandemic at the moment. I really like both these characters. Obviously, we had the Escobar was in a mask as El Fantasmo, I believe, and then obviously reveals himself. Really nice story behind him. But Swerve's got a huge fan of him from before he was actually in WWE as Shane Strickland. And he used to come out to Ain't Nobody by Shaka Khan and the crowd used to pop off that. But yeah, this is going to be a really exciting match between the two and one I'm looking forward to for Sunday. That's a good build. And we had some more build. This time it was for Kyle O'Reilly. This was showing his career to date, his bits from training, his bits from Japan, and I think they're really trying to push him as a babyface now. Obviously, his heel is Undisputed Era, but I think they've made a complete switch and bringing him back round to being that babyface, obviously, versus Finn Balor for the NXT title this Sunday. So, face versus heel, and yeah, I think that match, it's going to be really good, but I think that's going to be match of the night and probably similar levels to the ladder match at Clash of Champions from last week. We then move into the NXT returning superstar. Now, this video package got played last week and they had a match poster from the NXT TakeOver Orlando for WrestleMania 33, which I was there for, believe it or not, Chris. Still have to get them mentioned somehow. So, obviously, it's been a lot of rumours and then they had this one this week. So, the video package in itself, it focuses in on the superstar, male or female, because it's got both voices again. And they're getting on a bike. Then they focus on the Amway Centre. Don't know why they've shown the Amway Centre, because obviously TakeOver is supposed to be at the Performance Centre, so maybe they might switch it and put it in the Thunderdome. We'll have to see in the next couple of days. But then they pull out a TakeOver poster from this Sunday, which obviously Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest. And then they throw a pipe through the glass case again. But in the promo, this is what they actually said. I've heard them say you can never go back home too many roads in life to take, but sometimes you have to stop and look around you to see that home may not be the same place it was in when you left it. Then you realise doing something about it will be your destiny. So Twitter is currently thinking either Ember Moon or Bo Dallas. Ember Moon fits into the TakeOver Orlando thing because she faced Asuka back then. Bo Dallas was already on the main roster at that point, so I'm not too sure. But then I've heard a wild suggestion on Twitter that it could be Charlotte coming back. But again, I'm going to go for Ember Moon. Chris, what about you?
I'm all in on it being Ember Moon. All in on it. I think it makes the most sense for her. Obviously, she's been out for a long time with an injury. She was used best and probably at her best in NXT anyway. If it's the match, I think it was. Realistically, in my opinion, she should have beat Asuka at TakeOver Orlando. If anyone's going to break the streak, it was the right time to do it, especially when all they used the ending of the streak to do was to make already very strong Charlotte already stronger. I think it would have been and then you could have had Asuka comes up, Ember Moon defends the title for 6 months, then she comes up, and then you have like a ready-made feud ready to go. Ember Moon is horrendously talented, so I am hoping, praying, and will be not horrendously disappointed. No, in fact, no, I will say it. I'll be horrendously disappointed if it's not Ember Moon, because I'm very excited to see her back in wrestling in whatever form it is.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing who it is. Because of the male and female voices, and they're always, you can't see like hair or anything like that. They really keep it secret, but I'm really looking forward to seeing who it could be. And yeah, hopefully it is Ember Moon, as Chris says. We then move into the Cameron Grimes Invitational Stepping Stones to the Moon match. So Cameron Grimes is out and he's slating the Gauntlet Eliminator. He called it stupid. Obviously, he lost and Kyle O'Reilly won to then go and face Finn Balor. So he brings out his own challenge, which I'm not going to repeat because it's really hard to say. And he handpicks his opponent, which was from the NCAA 85-pound weight class. This guy is absolutely tiny. It's a squash mask, beats him easily. And then I think he said he's going to get his next opponent out that he'd handpicked, but Ridge Holland comes out, obviously formerly known as Luke Menzies from English Rugby League over here, tosses the previous opponent round on the stage, and then we get into a match. It's less than 1 minute. Holland dominates, and then he gets disqualified for repeating stamping on Grimes. Really interesting to see what they do with Ridge Holland, because again, he's someone from our shores going over there, showing what he can do, and obviously a former rugby league player, so switching round. And there was also another rugby player from Australia, Daniel Vido, I think it is. He might be from New Zealand. Apologies if I got it wrong. He's also out in NXT. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them step up to the stage and compete. We then get another video package. This time it's about Kushida facing Velveteen Dream at TakeOver. Obviously, in the Gauntlet Eliminator, Velveteen Dream hit him with his finisher and cost him the match. So we're getting that match on Sunday, and there's a video package, and it's talking about how you're going to see the vicious Kushida now. And we certainly did against Tony Nese on NXT last night. Relatively short match, about 3 minutes long. Really got over his vicious side. To finish the match, he gets him holding by the arms, starts stamping on him, and then wins via the hoverboard lock. Dream then appears on the Titantron and says all eyes go be in on him on Sunday. This is like halfway through the show. It's been very good so far, and we've still got 3 or 4 segments to go. And I've only got 4 minutes to talk about it because Chris needs to get onto AEW. So I'm going to go through these super, super fast. So next up, Adam Cole versus Austin Theory. Cole out before the match from his break, putting over what Undisputed Era has done in NXT. They might have struggled a late, but they're still a dominant force. And Austin Theory, prior to this, has been backstage saying that O'Reilly isn't the future because Theory is the future. He's appeared at WrestleMania. Kyle O'Reilly hasn't. So he wants him to come out and say to his face what he said in the backstage interview. He accepts the match as long as Undisputed Era won't jump in. So Cole's like, yep, all good. So Cole's in a very bad mood to start, and he dominates up until the break. Like, I think there's a few super kicks in there. After the break, he tries to go for the Panama Sunrise, which again, sick move. But it's countered. Theory super kick to the back of the neck. Then he gets a Blue Thunder Bomb, 2 count. He then tries to go for a dive, but he dives into a hell of a super kick from Cole. Then there's another super kick, a brainbuster, and the last shot, which is an excellent finisher and a very good match. Theory, good showing from him. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in the future. But yeah, I'd probably say up there with the Garganos against Io Shirai and Damian Priest, which we'll talk about later. Next, we had another short match, Caden Carter versus Xia Li. Obviously, this stems from a few weeks back from the tag match when Xia Li was supposedly not showing the respect to Caden Carter and Katie Catanzaro. Nice little match between the two, good offense from both. It's building both characters, obviously Carter and Catanzaro, these faces, both very talented wrestlers, especially Catanzaro, like she's athletic as anything. And it's pushing towards the Xia Li heel turn because after the match, it was a quick pin after the match. Xia Li pushes Carter over and then storms off. So again, building more characters down in NXT, and really looking forward to that. Next up, final segment before the last match, Aurelia and Finn Balor face-to-face. Shawn Michaels is hosting. Finn says Kyle's not a secret anymore, he's just not as well known. The whole business watches Finn Balor, but Finn watches Kyle and knows he's just as good as everyone else. Then it's on to O'Reilly. Said it's not about Undisputed Era. This is his moment in the spotlight. It's not only his biggest moment of his career, it's the biggest moment of his life. Finn gets the last word and he says that Kyle O'Reilly would be champion if he was facing anyone else. Chris, I know you're really looking forward to this match on Sunday.
Yeah, this is one of those matches that I think just makes sense, especially for, let's be honest, especially for marks like us. Like, it is a throwback to Japan. It's those kind of matches you've wanted to see for ages. They both have the ability to work that kind of very strong style. They both work a very realistic style. I'm really, really looking forward to this. Finn Balor has kind of set himself as that perfect tweener role where he can fight an obvious babyface and be an obvious heel, and at the same time face an obvious heel and be the obvious babyface, which is a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult line to tread. I think it works really, really nicely. Obviously, it does build a lot of intrigue as to what's going to happen with Undisputed Era, especially with the draft coming up. I think they could be a draft candidate, depending on what happens here. They could all collapse. They could all implode. I'm very, very excited to see it. I think this is the right booking for NXT for your main event, especially as it feels at the moment that NXT's in a bit of a transitional period, especially with Karrion Kross injured, who's obviously, they're looking to make him like the face of NXT, I guess. Certainly like the boss of NXT, the end boss of NXT. With him injured, they're in a bit of a difficult position. I think just putting on the best match is what NXT do well, and I think they made a good choice for this one.
As he says, yeah, really looking forward to that on Sunday. Again, probably going to match than that, as I mentioned before. And I have talked for way too long, so I'm very sorry, Chris. I'm going to hand over to you in a minute. I'm going to set myself 60 seconds to talk for the last match and sum it up. So in 3, 2, 1. Right, last match, Yoshirai, Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. Obviously, mixed tag match, facing each other for the NXT title and the NXT women's title. Gargano's been matching gear, the clean house before the bells rings. Starts well, back and forth. And then before they got the break, Yoshirai goes on Damian Priest's shoulders, takes out Gargano and LeRae on the outside. There's obviously lots of back and forth, an extremely good match. It ends when there's a tag to Priest and he's setting him up for the finish, but Candy sneaks in and low blows him. Yoshirai chases her out the ring, stomps on her, but Johnny then hits his finisher and beats Damian Priest. 20 seconds left. A very good NXT show. Obviously, it's the go-home show before the takeover, so obviously they're building all that stuff up, but really enjoyed it. Obviously, there was, I think, 5 matches in there. Some very good matches. Go check it out. If you have to see one match, I'd go for Adam Cole against Austin Theory. And in 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm done. Chris, over to you for AEW.
Yeah, over to AEW on TNT. I will not go into as much detail as Crush because I'm very aware that our editor, Adam, already has enough on today as we're doing 2 episodes and I'm not that selfish. But we start off with Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks. So Darby Allin obviously was out for a bit after All Out. Ricky Starks is kind of one of those, I think he's a bit of an unearthed gem within AEW and is someone I do recommend that you check out. This was a dead good opener. Very fast, very pacey. We saw more technical stuff from Darby Allin than we're used to seeing. Obviously, he's very synonymous with the Daredevil style, but we see early on he kind of locked in a front chancery off of the spear. He went into a couple of arm bars. It was a really, really nice opener. There was Ricky Starks, especially in the heat, which is not when you expect to see it, sold like an absolute boss. He sold his lower back throughout it. At one point, he had a single leg Boston Crab locked on and actually broke the hold before Darby Allin made it to the ropes because he was selling his back so much. It worked really nicely. He also hit what might be the best spear I've seen in 2020 with apologies to Roman Reigns, but the 198-pound Ricky Starks has done you here. Darby Allin springboards off the ropes midair as he turns. Ricky Stark hits this picture-perfect spear for a great near fall. In the end, Darby Allin goes over with the coffin drop to the back of Ricky Starks, the 1-2-3. This was a really, really good match. This led nicely into the returning, slightly My Chemical Romance inspired Cody Rhodes. The blonde hair is gone, the black hair is back. He did a quick interview talking about kind of his mindset and the psychological injuries being more than the physical injuries after his 3-minute loss to Brody Lee for TNT title. Talked about getting the call to go to Hollywood to do a TV show and then kind of brought it back nicely talking about will he accept this dog collar match from Brody Lee. He originally said no. There was kind of like the murmurings and the boos from the crowd. He walked to the entranceway, turned around, stormed back to the ring. Big, fiery, babyface promo saying, yes, of course he accepts. Let's go. So next week, we have a dog collar match between Cody Rhodes and leader of the Dark Order, Brody Lee. This is something I think will be very good. It'll be nice. I assume Brody Lee will go over, but I think this will be a proper bloody battering brawl. I think it'll be good TV. We then moved to pre-match promos, which is something I really like from AEW, actually, is that they do promos kind of behind the curtain just before performers go out. I think it adds quite nicely. It's a good way to build straight into the next match. First of all, we had the artists formerly known as The Revival, now FTR, doing an interview with Tony Schiavone. It's a very kind of, there's not a lot in this interview, but the main point of it is that at one point, Matt Jackson comes along, super kicks Tony Schiavone as they carry on their reign of superkick terror throughout the backstage of AEW. FTR call them out saying, oh, why are you kicking him and not us? It's us you want, blah, 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 blah. We don't really see much of a fallout from this other than JR condemning the actions for the rest of the show. We also then get a quick promo with SCU before we move into an AEW Tag Team Championship match between FTR and SCU with Hangman Page on commentary. Now, Hangman Page didn't really do a lot on commentary. He just kind of sat there drinking throughout it, which is very in character for him. This match was a good match. I think my one gripe with it was that they made the ref look like a bit of an idiot at times. Both teams were manipulating the ref a lot to try and get away with stuff, especially FTR, as you'd expect. There was some nice back and forth as they both teams laid traps for each other. We start off with SCU kind of essentially enticed both members of FTR around to the front so that Scorpio Sky could hit a big over-the-top dive. And then for the cutoff, about a minute later, they pulled in, I think it was Scorpio Sky, round the corner. The first member of FTR ducked out of the way to lead to the second member to flatten Scorpio Sky. This is a good match. It was a very, very good championship match. It was only a 20-minute time limit, which is a nice little thing they've brought in with FTR. The finish was Scorpio Sky went to suplex. I can't remember which member it was. One of the members of FTR back in the hard way from the apron. It collapsed down into FTR pinning Scorpio. Tully Blanchard, yes, that Tully Blanchard from the Brainbusters grabs the legs of Scorpio Sky. He then can't kick out. 1, 2, 3, we go home. It was a nice way of keeping both teams strong. There were very good moments in the match. It just felt, at times, it was a little bit contrived, which I think is quite typical of the AEW tag team division. But, Will, that's fine. I'm fine with this for TV. It was a good match. However, the next announcement was probably the most exciting of the night. And I will throw to you here, Crush, because I said I'd do it earlier and I forgot to, but we'll quickly go into it. And that is we will have an 8-man single elimination tournament with the winner getting a shot at the AEW Championship at Full Gear. Now, they've announced 3 names so far, which was Jungle Boy, Rey Fénix, and Kenny Omega, which seems like the 3 evolutions of a Pokemon. Where you start off with Jungle Boy, that evolves into Rey Fénix, and you get Kenny Omega. Now, Page was still on commentary at this point, chokes on his drink, says he's got to go, and quickly runs off to the backstage. Now, who would you like to see in this tournament, Crush?
Oh, I don't know you're going to ask me that, so let me have to think. I mean, I already know who I want to win because they've announced 3 of them already, and I want Rey Fénix to win because I just think he is an incredible athlete, a very good worker, part of the Lucha Bros with Pentagon, and yeah, I'd really like to see him being on top. Obviously, Omega hasn't done much recently in AEW. I think that's fair to say.
I mean, he was tag team champion for like nearly a year, but
I know, but like from what Kenny was,
just Barry tag team wrestling. It's fine. Yeah. You just do your crush.
Yeah,
well, ignore the tag team division.
I mean, yeah, well, I know your matches anyway, so kind of
don't blame you.
But yeah, I'd really like to see Rey Fénix win, no matter who is in that match.
I think for me, what my expectation is obviously Hangman Page will get himself into it. They won't. I don't think they'll do Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page yet in this tournament. I think it'll be Kenny Omega will get through to the final. Hangman Page will be in the semi-finals against someone, let's say Rey Fénix, just to make you feel better about it. He looks set to win. The Young Bucks will cost Hangman Page the victory in the same way that Hangman Page cost the Young Bucks the victory in the tag tournament, and we'll go from there. I think that Kenny Omega will win the tournament and will probably beat Moxley because it's always kind of been set for him to become the champion, the heel champion moving forward. which will then lead to him versus Hangman Page down the line. It's a big feud blow off. I think that works nicely. I think that just makes sense. I am very interested to see who is announced for the tournament. I still have hope of the likes of Pac returning. Obviously, that's very difficult seeing as no one can do anything at the moment. But we'll wait and see. I'm excited for this. I think this is a good decision. Tournaments work well. I think we said this last week. Tournaments are a good thing at the moment because they just build storylines naturally, especially when you don't have a crowd to kind of react off and pivot on what they're going with. After that, we moved into Chris Jericho versus Isaiah Cassidy, not Orange Cassidy, Isaiah Cassidy of Private Party. This was a good match. Isaiah Cassidy got in a lot more than I expected. This kind of continued the Chris Jericho trying to put over younger talent while still staying strong theme that we've seen recently. At one point, Chris Jericho and Luther, who some of you may have remember, was a deathmatch specialist in Japan. He's a very, very good wrestler. If you haven't had a chance to, I certainly recommend you check out his stuff. They started throwing punches on the outside. Now, how this is not a disqualification, I have no idea. But sure, let's just crack on with it. They had a little bit of fisticuffs. We crack on. It was a little bit awkward at times. They kind of felt a step out of touch. However, when they got to the near falls at the end, it got very, very good. Chris Jericho went for a lion salt, which I was shocked he could still pull off, but he absolutely can pull off. Chris Jericho pulled off the lion salt. Isaiah Cassidy got his knees up. He then hit a lion salt onto Chris Jericho for a 1-2 kick out. He then hit a code breaker onto Chris Jericho for another near fall. Went to the top. I think he went for a springboard, the classic springboard something. And Chris Jericho hit the Judas effect for the win. This was a good match. After the match, we had a little bit of a brawl between the Inner Circle, Private Party, and Matt Hardy, who was there with Steel Chair. He kind of chased the heels off. And then we saw Luther and Serpentino getting into a brawl with Chris Jericho and Hager. This was a good little moment. It was later announced that they'd have a tag team match next week. I'm excited for that. I think that would just be a good, aggressive kind of brawl of a match. I think it'd be very different to what we see a lot of the moment with tag team wrestling, where there are very intricate double teams and stuff like that. I think this would just be a good fight. So I'm quite excited for that one. So yeah, moving on from there, we had another Miro and Kip Sabian bachelor party promo. It's still weird. I still don't really get it. They introduced Billy Mitchell. For those who don't know, Billy Mitchell was the first person to ever score a perfect score on Pac-Man. He is now a part of this best man thing they have going on. I have hope. It's still Rusev. It's still Miro. It's just a bit weird at the minute, but we'll see how it goes. They made a couple of enhancement matches, which I enjoy that AEW do. They have matches where they're essentially just putting over the stronger competitor, but they give TV time to their under talent. First of all, we had 10 of the Dark Order against Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy went over in about 3 minutes. 10 got a lot of offense in, essentially got cocky. Orange Cassidy hit his big moves, went over 1-2-3. It served its purpose. A very similar thing with Dr. Britt Baker versus Red Velvet. Red Velvet has instantly become my favorite woman in the AEW's women division just because she's named after a cake. Obviously, you've hit everything I need to here. Britt Baker coming back from injury actually looked the best we've seen her since she's been in AEW. Her in-ring stuff looked a lot crisper, a lot more confident. I think it's more of a confidence issue than a talent issue. It looked a lot more secure. It did a good job. There was a little beatdown after the match as well. Again, it was an enhancement match. It did its job. And then finally, we move into the main event, which was Jon Moxley versus an opponent of Eddie Kingston's choosing. We start off with Eddie Kingston cutting a promo. It's as epic as ever. I really recommend it. Go check it out if you can do. He starts off to tease that they're going to beat down the ref who ended the match after he passed out last week. Jon Moxley comes out to make the save with the baseball bat covered in barbed wire. He cuts a promo in the ring. Eddie Kingston says, "You're not facing any of us. You're facing the Butcher," who is then behind Jon Moxley, looking a bit like a horror character in a big overall. It looks great. It's a really good visual. They have a good kind of strong, tough match. It kind of really felt it feeded well into Jon Moxley's current reign, where he tries to beat the person physically to start off with, realizes they can go toe-to-toe with him, and then he beats them technically. It ended in the Bulldog sleeper, as it did with Eddie Kingston last week. However, this week, the Butcher did tap out. Eddie Kingston was fuming after the match. As ever, AEW did a really good job promoting their show for next week. Obviously, as we said, there's the tournament starting next week. But I think the thing that I'm most excited for is Will Hobbs, who was the kind of standout star of the all-out Casino Royale, over-the-top rope, battle royal, whatever it was called. He will be taking on Brian Cage next week for the FTW title. That will be a good match. I really, really enjoyed this show. I do recommend it. If you're going to watch one match, watch the Darby Allin-Ricky Starks match. It's just a dead good opener. It's really not what you'd expect from these two as well. That is it for this week, though. We have run out of time. We do apologize. We have got another podcast to record right now. So we will see you, well, probably in about 3 hours' time for the main Go Home Show podcast with the full crew. Will Brazier, Elliot Ames will be joining us. Make sure, if you haven't left us a review, go and do that. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube, Sport for Wrestling, where you can catch all our interviews. That is it for now. Let's go home.